plate a potential nugget.
And maybe just curious about 4 years at Eklavya, and you were running it for about 2.5 years, and then you decided to do something else. Could you talk a little bit about, you know, those 4 years and also your choice to move on to do something else? How did that come about?
So a couple of things. One is, of course, we, you know, spent a year and a half researching education. We spent a lot of time understanding what is a good school. And I mean, that's, you know, hats off and credit to Sri Landa for the kind of first principles approach he takes to everything he does. So that's been a big learning that will stay with me for the rest of my life. And the other thing about him is extent to which he's well organized. Right? So you can have a conversation with him today, and if there is an action that he has to do 3 months down the line, he won't forget it.
Wow.
There, you know, something called a DivisoFlex that he used to maintain. I don't know whether he's moved it to digital devices now, but I use Google Calendar like crazy now. Right. So even if I have to remember to buy, you know, a coconut tomorrow morning, it's on, you know, at 6:30 in the morning, Google Calendar will remind me.
Understood.
That's something I learned from you.
What is the mechanism you mentioned? I didn't quite catch the term.
Google Calendar.
No, that he used to use?
He used something called a DivisoFlex. A DivisoFlex is basically a file with separators in it.
Okay.
So he used to use separators for different entities he used to work with, right? So his business, corrugated packaging, was one entity. So that was a separate section. Eklavya was a separate section. A bunch of other stuff that he was involved with.
Understood.
He used to have a separate section. Within a section, he had a separate page for each person. So there was a page for me, there was a page for Sridhar, there was a page for everybody he worked with.
I'm curious, this notion of critical but not urgent. I have huge respect for people who can follow through on those pieces, especially in today's times.
Yes.
So, sorry, back to you. You were talking about...
Basically, we had a phenomenal year just learning what it takes to run a good school, what a good school means, even stuff like that. And then we set up when we were running the school. It was a great experience. A bunch of things, you know, one, of course, views on how it should be run and stuff like that. End of the day, Sri Landa was the owner, and so, you know, one has to make way for that. So that was definitely one of the factors. But the other factor, of course, that was playing in at least our minds was, how is this going to scale? How is it going to create impact on a much larger scale in society? Right? So you can build islands of excellence like the IIMs and, you know, doing schools and stuff like that. And it's not to discount the value that those add to society. But how do you scale something like this to create impact on a much larger number of people's lives was an annoying question in our own mind. So, So we kind of moved out at different points of time depending on, you know, what was right for each of us. Sudhir was 1 year junior to us, who's also at Eklavya. So Sudhir moved out first, then I moved out, then Sridhar moved out. And we actually, once all of us had moved out, we got back together and started a company called Educational Initiatives.
Got it. And the other piece I'm curious about, Venkat, is you also call this your closest brush with failure. The Eklavya school.
Experience, of the closest brushes with failure. And now I think today I have far more daily failing brushes with failure than I did when I was young. We were starting the school. We'd done a really lot of good work preparing up for it and building up to it, etc. When I go back and think of those days, I can't imagine anybody else having prepared as much to build a good school as we had. It was a ridiculous amount of investment of time and energy and resources to set up a good school. So we were kind of almost arrogantly confident. This is like an ultimate school that we're going to build, right? And in those days, you didn't have that many schools also. So getting admission used to be like a huge challenge for parents.
And this was in Ahmedabad, the school?
Yeah. I remember us thinking, you know, we wanted to start with three classes. So 20, 28, 24, so 64 kids is what we wanted. And we were speculating a week before we started admissions that how many people will apply. If we get 3,000 people, how will you shortlist? How will you select? We'd actually reached out to KPMG and got them on board to conduct a random draw of lots for selection of admissions, you know, how will that random draw of lots be done, all of that kind of stuff. And so I'm not sure of the exact date. I think it was the 27th of March or something like that, 97, when we opened out for admissions. And we were expecting, so we're going to start at 9 o'clock, and we thought the queue will start building up from 7, 7:30. And so, you know, at 9:15, Sunil and I actually came with a handycam to try and record the queues and all of that. And that whole day, we got 2 inquiries.
Wow.
Right? And we were expecting 1,500 plus, something like that. So, massive shock for us that only 2 people were interested in even listening, and neither of them even decided to take admission. So we tried to extend by a couple of more days, went through the rut, and we got 13 admissions finally with a little bit of effort. And I remember we were sitting on the terrace of Core House, which is where the office used to be, and late at night, 10:30, 11 o'clock, and all dejected and wondering what to do, etc. We then asked ourselves, karna kya, should we even do this, or should we just wind up and go back to our lives, etc. And we said, tera hai, can we do something with these 13 kids? We want to give it a shot, let's go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunil Randa said, boss, if you guys are ready, I'm happy to back you. Mm-hmm. Money was coming from him, obviously, right? I'm not going to break even with 13 kids. So, he said, chalo, karte. And so then for the next 2 months, the 3 or 4 teachers we had hired and the 3 of us, it's difficult to believe this, we went door to door, like shampoo salesmen, no? Knocking on doors in Ahmedabad, at least 1,000 houses we would have gone. We knocked on people's homes and introduced ourselves and explained what we were trying to do and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, school of hard knocks, literally, but a brilliant lesson. We wound up with 34 kids when we started in June. We got 21 admissions through door-to-door sales.
Wow.
For something as important as education, people were willing to trust somebody who came and knocked on their door. That was amazing. Started with 34, we went to 51 by few months, and then we decided to not take more. The next year, we wanted 180 or so kids. We got more than 450 applications, and you know, we wound up taking 200 plus. Thereafter, never looked back.
Thank you for listening. For podcast archives across 60 plus guests, curated across 60 plus themes, please visit playtopotential.com.